Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Matthew chapter 9. We're going to be talking today about a man named Matthew. He also goes by the name of Levi. And we're going to find out that he was a tax collector. And tax collectors were wealthy men who bid for the rights to collect taxes for the government of Rome. Once they recovered their investments, they would collect extra by extorting higher fees than were required, and anything extra went to them. In the New Testament times, these men were considered traitors as they worked for the Roman government, and they were considered thieves and dishonest oppressors, especially of the poor. The fact that Matthew's house, which we will read about, was large enough for many to eat suggests that he was a major rather than minor tax collector. And his response to leave all and follow Jesus demonstrated the power of forgiveness. And if you're able, would you please stand and Matthew chapter 9. We'll begin reading at verse 9 down through verse 13. Matthew 9:9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story in the book of Matthew about one that comes to you. And Lord, we thank you for the salvation of souls, for the four boys that this Vacation Bible School made professions of faith. And Lord, we pray that you would have your hand upon their young and tender lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. And as you're returning to your seat, would you please turn to the book of Mark chapter 2. We just read there in Matthew chapter 9 about the call of Matthew, and we'll now look at it in the book of Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Mark 2, 13 through 15. And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that, as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, and there were many, and they followed him. Again, the book of Luke chapter 5, and we'll begin at verse 27 through 29 as this incident is recorded for us three different times, and it gives us a pretty good idea of what happened. And Luke 5, 27, and after these things, he went forth and saw a publican named Levi, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. May I say this, that Levi had a job. I noticed the other day that Lord and Taylor is closing over here at Lakeside Mall. I remember when the mall was first built and Lakeside was put in, and you may remember that they put the sign out on the side of their building, Lord and Taylor, and it's an interesting way it's written, and there were people who actually asked, what does that say? Do you remember that? Yes. How many of you remember that originally Lakeside wasn't open on Sunday? And then it was opened at 1 o'clock. I would dare say now it's open right now. But Lord and Taylor is closing. There are going to be a few people out without a job. But you know, for some of us, like myself, I've worked the same job for almost 44 years. That's a long time. Some of you have worked a job for many years. Some of you now are retired and have moved on. But Matthew or Levi had a job. He had money. Now, there's nothing wrong with money. I understand that there are more millionaires in America today than have ever been before. Money. The other day when we had our grandkids, and I mentioned in Sunday school that we had, for a couple of nights, we had 6 grandchildren. And if it looks like my wife is falling asleep this morning, that might be why. But I took them out to do a little bit of garage sailing, and you know, it was good to have some money. And, you know, to purchase a few things, and they were excited, and it's nice to have money. And Matthew had money. Matthew had a place of prominence. He had a place because of his money that put him in a place of prominence. And he probably lived in the nice neighborhood, and he had this position. He had a nice place to live, a nice place to live. He had friends. He had friends. But what didn't Matthew have? He didn't have the Lord. He didn't have the Lord. It's nice to have money. It's nice to have a nice home. It's nice to have a good job. But if you don't have the Lord, you have nothing. You need to have the Lord. And as I've already said, tax collectors were most often very wealthy. But back in the book of Matthew, where we were, verse 9, we find that he was sitting at the receipt of custom, and Jesus said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. May I ask, how is your relationship with the Lord today? How is your relationship? I got a letter yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, from Mrs. Trump. Do you think she knows me? Well, I got a letter from her. You don't think we're on a first name basis? You don't think she knows me? You're right. She doesn't know me. We don't have a relationship. What do you think would happen if I called the governor of the state of Michigan and I said, tell the governor that Paul Madonna's on the line and would like to talk to her? Do you think she would drop everything and answer the phone just for me? Because I don't have a relationship with her. How about the mayor of Sterling Heights, Mr. Taylor? If I called over at City Hall on Thursday when he's there, and I said, tell him Paul Madonna has called. Now, I have talked to the mayor. I've gone into his office, and we have sat down, and we discussed some things, and he looked at me about a couple of things and smiled and said, that's not going to happen. And then I said, well, what can I do to make it happen? And he said, please don't try. But the fact of the matter is, I don't have a relationship with the mayor, though I may go by again and reintroduce myself. And that's fine. But do you have a relationship with the Lord? Do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? And if you do know the Lord as a personal Savior, are you in a situation where you are in communication with Him at least once a week? How about twice a week? How about four times a week? Do you think the Lord would ever say, man, you talk to me every day, I'm sick and tired of it? You think He'd say that? No. Because you can have a relationship with our Lord, with the God of the universe. You can have a relationship with Him every day. We sing a song every once in a while, I need Him every hour. Do you need the Lord every hour? We need the Lord every hour. We need to have a close relationship. And at this point in time, Matthew did not, but when the Lord said, follow me, he got up and followed him. Notice verse 10. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house. He was a welcomed guest. A welcomed guest. Someone has said that if you go to visit family, you should have the fish mentality. That fish after 3 days smells. So you shouldn't stay at someone's house more than 3 days. Have you ever stayed at someone's house for more than 3 days? How many of you have stayed at someone's house for at least 3 days? Not many of you. Yeah. But I've been invited to some people's homes and they've invited me and welcomed me in and treated Donna and myself, well, probably because of Donna, but they treated us royally. Is Jesus a welcome guest at your house? Is he one that you say, Lord, welcome? In fact, let me ask you this question. When you bought your house, did you stand outside or maybe sat in your car and you gave it to the Lord? Did you give your house to the Lord? Which is his house, isn't it? Everything we have is the Lord's. Don't think, oh, it's mine, I've worked for it. No, it's the Lord's. The creator of the universe. It's his house. And you should thank him for living there. Verse 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, they saw Jesus eating. Do you realize there are always those that are critical? In fact, some people, if they couldn't be critical, they would never have anything to say. They're critical. And I'm going to be critical right now. Is it all right if I can? Can I vent? You don't know how. Oh, thank you. Someone said go for it. I'm going for it. Yesterday, I was taking two of the grandkids back to their mother over at the outlet mall in Howell, where M59 and 96 come together. Do you know the place? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Tanger Mall. It's over there. And so I'm going south on whatever I was going south on Shaner, and you get on at Hoover. And we got on to Hoover at 696, and it was one lane going westbound. Not four lanes like it is, one lane. And from where I got on at Hoover to almost I-75, it was one lane. And they were doing absolutely nothing. They were giving the road the day off. There was not one worker along that whole stretch. How fast do you think we were going? At times, we weren't going at all. Sometimes at 5 miles an hour. And then when the on-ramps were coming on from Mound and different places, the traffic got down, you know, because now you're merging even more. Well, is it easy to be critical? Yes. In fact, if I would have had MDOT on the phone right then, I probably would have told him what I thought. Have you ever noticed people who are critical of fellow believers? Yeah. But see, the Pharisees was critical. They had spies that watched Jesus. And here they are eating with a publican. And the Bible says, publicans and what? Sinners. Someone has preached a sermon saying, aren't you glad that Jesus eats with sinners? What's that mean, that he eats with what? All of us, right? Because we're all sinners, right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Aren't you glad that he loves you even though you're a sinner? That's right. He loves us. He loves us. I was at an estate sale recently, Jerry, and there was a table that was old. Now, I'm not going to say that every time I see an old table, I think of you. But this table was old. And I'm thinking to myself, how valuable would this table be in the eyes of Jerry? I mean, he's an antique person. I didn't say he was an antique, but he deals with antiques. And I'm looking at it, and one thing you look for, how is it constructed? How has it survived through the years? Are there burn marks on it? Has some of the veneer been chipped off? How does it look? Does it have the original poles? And all that, you're looking at those things, right? Right. And I'm looking at it, and they're asking $75 for this table. And I'm thinking to myself, if Jerry was here, he wouldn't give them $5 for it. Because the quality wasn't any good. It just wasn't. Well, how worthy are we when the Lord of the universe looks at us? How much are you worth? How much are you worth? 94? Or worth dying for? Did you read my notes? Christ died for you. He paid for you. He paid the price. Aren't you glad he paid the price? He paid the price that we could be saved. He came to seek and to save them that are lost. He said those that are righteous, they don't need a Savior. Well, how many of us are righteous? Outside of God, none of us are righteous. Verse 12. But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Quickly, if you would, over to the book of Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. We're going to look very quickly at another tax collector. And I'm only halfway through my sermon. And I think someone said the other day, if I have to go over, you just understand. I don't hear an amen on that. Beginning at verse 1, and Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not, for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, and for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Did he know Matthew? Did he know him because the one worked as a tax collector one place and he another? But we do see this, that he was willing to follow Jesus. He invited him to be a guest. This day is salvation come to this house. There is no greater possession that you can have than eternal life. As many of you know, we put to rest Nancy Schneider this past week after her battle with cancer ended. And it was mentioned by a number of people that she is in a far better place now. For us that know Christ as our Savior, heaven awaits. But for that one that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, unfortunately, hell awaits. Damnation. So there is no greater possession than that of salvation. And Jesus has come to seek and to save those that are lost. Are we spiritually right today? Do we know the Lord as our Savior? And are we serving Him as we should? Shall we stand together? 375, just as I am. That's how He wants you to come. And once you come, He wants you to follow closely. Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, we ask that the Spirit would move, would convict hearts, touch, Lord, our souls. And Lord, may we leave here better than when we came. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.